Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon or good morning and happy Labor Day to everyone. Today is a holiday for many of you out there, I know, but you can see emotional intelligence never takes a rest. So welcome to the show. I'm Dr. Hank, your host, and boy, we got a great show for you today. Let me start off doing this. Now, I know it's not Christmas time, and, you know, Christmas is some 4, 5, 6 months away, but many of you probably have remembered or do remember seeing something like this on LinkedIn or maybe even heard me say it. So just listen. Don't make any judgments. Just listen. 'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the towns, families were stressing and having meltdowns. Stores full of conflict despite valid reason. Effective communication was sold out for the season. Although empathy and objectivity were part of the act, arrogance and impulsivity threw it all out of whack. Shoppers returned home to prepare the big night, but adults couldn't agree, and they continued to fight. So children sat silent alone with a phone, while interpersonal skills dwindled, self-expression monotone. Santa himself watched from above in his sleigh. These folks need some help before they completely lose their way. When what to my wandering eyes did appear? Emotional intelligence, authentic and sincere. Self-perspective, emotional expression, interpersonal skills abound, while effective decision-making and stress management turned the town upside down. And all of a sudden, and out of the blue, the townspeople were aware, and life was anew. The children began to put down their phones, playing together with minimal groans. They started to speak and express their delight. They worked out their problems and relent in spite. Parents maintained their opposing perspective, but deliberated with poise and became more reflective. As the night grew dark and the townspeople slept, Santa peered down and he practically wept. If we all take the time to become self-aware, the holiday spirit will echo the air. If emotional intelligence can change this small town, resilience is possible for all those that abound. Well, today we're going to have the guest who scribed or who wrote that. Dr. Sarah Spradling is going to be our guest today. And she's going to be with us, and she's going to kind of spend a little time talking about maybe where that came from and what inspired her to write that. But the topic for discussion today is a hat for my octopus, a hat for my octopus. Creating a culture of EI for working parents breeds a synergy of success for you and your children. So stay with us. We're going to have a great show, and Dr. Spradling is going to be with us. She's going to be sharing all of that, plus much, much more. But before we get going, just wanted to kind of talk about a couple of things that's coming up pretty soon. And I want you to make sure that you have it on your calendar. I want you to make sure that you have it on your calendar or that you register for it. The first one that's coming up is the EQI 2.0 certification. It's going to be in Orlando, Florida on October 12 and 13. October 12 and 13. So those of you that are interested in getting certified in the EQI 2.0, now's the time to do it. Just go to our website, societyofei.org. Go over to the training and certification page, and you can register for it right then, right now. Also, coming up on October 19th, we're going to have a three-part webinar. And whether you call it a three-part or three successive webinars, they're essentially webinars back to back to back. They start at 11 and they end at 2. So we'll have three EI experts who will be delivering a webinar from three different perspectives. So you'll want to register for that also. Again, just go to our website, societyofei.org. Go to the conference page in this case, and right on the conference page, you'll see where it says webinar. And you can register for those three webinars. And last but not least, in mid-September, we're going to be putting out a call for speakers. And that call for speakers is for our annual conference that will be coming up, and write the date down, that will be coming up April 5th, 2019. But we need to put out a call for speakers so that we get some great, you know, proposal in for some great speakers who will be presenting at that conference. Now, that's just a little bit about some of the things that's going on. There's a heck of a lot more going on within our general chapters. Each one of our chapters typically will host or have a program of some sort each month. So go to our website, societyofei.org. Go to the About Us page. And I believe you can find a lot of the information about what's happening at some of the upcoming chapters. Now, without further ado, I don't want to keep you in suspense any longer. I want to check and see if our guest is with us. Let me just check and see. Good morning, Dr. Spradlin. Are you there?
I am, Dr. Hank. How are you today?
Fantastic, fantastic. Thank you so much. Thank you for taking your time out to, you know, today is Labor Day, which means that you should not be laboring today, that you should be vacationing or resting up, you know, so that you can labor tomorrow and days after that. So why are you taking time to labor? You know, when you're on the show, you're laboring, right?
Well, thank you for having me. No, I thought... You know, this is actually, given that it is Labor Day, this is a great opportunity for us to really acknowledge the working parents and the stress and you know, achievements of working parents in today's age, and really talk about how we can help working parents mitigate some of the stressors that they endure on a daily basis.
Well, great. Then you're just the person to share that, I understand. Now, before we get into talking about that, you may not have been on the line, but I was reading your "Twas the Night Before Christmas" or "Twas the Night Before EI," and I love that, you know. And I couldn't help but just go to that today, just to share it with our listeners. Where did that come from?
Thank you for sharing the piece. That was a fun piece to write. You know, that's an interesting question. I think ultimately, I'm a working mother of four, and so, you know, there's a lot of nuances to the Christmas season, the holiday festivities, and it would be different dynamics that go into it, especially having children. And mm-hmm. You know, I think one day I was out shopping with my husband, and you know, trying to enjoy some of the holiday festivities, and I paused for a moment and looked around at this interesting disconnect or dichotomy between, you know, really what the holiday season and the spirit of giving and you know, family and, you know, if you're a religious individual, all of those things that have such a positive undertone are supposed to really bring, you know, to the holiday spirit. But yet there was this strange disconnect amidst the people in society where, you know, everybody's on their phone and they're rushing and they're arguing and they're pushing in line to, you know, and just, it's just, again, this strange disconnect, and it just made me, you know, reflect on the concept and philosophy and application of emotional intelligence and just that universal application of EI and how it impacted that dichotomy in the moment of the holiday.
Well, I'm glad you wrote it. It's a piece that I will probably keep, and I will probably read every holiday, every Christmas, you know, probably several times on the show prior to Christmas. I love it. You know, it's just one of those things that, you know, that appeal to me. And I go, 'twas the night before EI, you know, and because a lot of people don't come to EI right away, or they don't come to EI unless there's a stressor of some sort that causes them. You know, typically we say that, you know, when a person is hurting, that's when they look for a cure. So sometimes people don't look for EI until they're hurting in some way or another, and they go, well, maybe this thing called emotional intelligence will help, whether it's on an organizational level or on a personal level. So 'Twas the Night Before Christmas goes into my bucket or bank of things that I will refer to from now on. So you made a contribution,
Wonderful.
Sarah. Thank you. And speaking of that, and I shared with the audience that you're going to be talking a little bit today about a hat for my octopus, and that's the topic, creating a culture for EI, for working parents, breeds a synergy of success for you and your children. Everyone probably says, oh, okay, so I wonder where all of that came from. So if you will, can you take maybe just a couple of minutes and help our listeners understand a little bit about Dr. Spradlin and her background and where she comes from?
Sure, absolutely. So I started out professionally as an officer in the United States Marine Corps. And I spent nearly 10 years working in the Marine Corps until started having those amazing little humans that, you know, they need a whole lot of time and attention, of which, you know, you certainly want to give to them. My husband is a retired Marine. And so, you know, at the time, as we were growing our family and working professionally and on our careers and whatnot, there was just, you know, it was challenging for, you know, he was going on a lot of deployments and we had some wonderful nannies and, but it just wasn't mom and dad. And fortunately, I had the opportunity around 2008, 2009, the Marine Special Operations Command, which is the Marine component of Special Operations Command, stood up. And I had a great opportunity to transition off active duty as a Marine and step into a role as the first female principal staff director at Marine Special Operations School to stand up that organization as a civilian government employee. So I worked there for about 4 years. And then my husband decided that he too was ready for a change and a transition. And after 20 plus years, he retired and brought the family up to the Richmond, Virginia area. And I tried to kind of fill that gap, that void that I had from missing a lot of time raising my kids and kind of compensate for some of that, you know, parental guilt with being a full-time working parent. And I worked as a stay-at-home mom for about 6 months until I realized that it was truly the most challenging deployment I'd ever do.
Yes, it is.
And I, you know, I had to find a solid balance, you know, for myself in terms of self-actualization and a sense of self, and balance that with being able to raise my children and stay engaged. And so I finished my doctorate, and I decided that at that point I thought I was going to go ahead and jump back into the career field. And I started a workforce development firm here in Richmond, Virginia called Vitruvian Advantage. And our firm, a workforce development firm, you know, covers all the gamuts from talent acquisition planning, succession management planning, leadership training, initiatives, organizational development. However, all of our services are grounded in the theory and, more importantly, the practical application of emotional intelligence.
All right. All right. That sounds great. That sounds fantastic. And there's one other thing I didn't mention to the listening audience right away. And that is Dr. Spradlin has volunteered to start a chapter of the Society of Emotional Intelligence in Virginia, known as, or will be known or is known as Society of Emotional Intelligence, or SOEI Virginia. So congratulations for doing that. But I do have to ask that question. Why did you want to do that? You know, you sounds like you're really loaded with things already with the four kids and Vitruvian and
that's a great question. I think it really goes back to that notion of why I wrote the piece the night 'twas the night before AI, you know, just recognizing the absolute fundamental universal value that EI plays in our society, in terms of just, you know, evolving, building resilience through change, because that is truly the only constant. Change is the only constant. And I just think it's a great opportunity to bring back to the community part of social responsibility, you know, which is an element of EI. And give back and grow that knowledge and application of EI for everybody and anybody interested in the state of Virginia.
All right. So you heard that, folks. If you're in the Virginia area, whether that's Richmond or Arlington or Norfolk, wherever you are, and you're looking to get more involved in emotional intelligence, well, we now have a chapter there. And how can someone reach you if they want to get in touch with you?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we did start a Facebook page. So the tag for the Facebook page is SOEIVA, and that's on Facebook. If you'd like to get in touch with me personally, you can reach me via email at sarah.spradlin, Spradlin, at Vitruvian, Vitruvian.com.
Fantastic, fantastic. I suspect that you will be getting some folks that are going to be reaching out to you around that. But let me not take away your time while you're here, because you want to kind of talk. I want to know more about this hat for my octopus thing. So so let's get started. You know, I'm going to probably throw a few questions your way, but in your opinion, why are working adults or working parents so stressed out today?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, Dr. Hank, we live in dynamic age of interconnectivity and opportunity. And this age of opportunity that we live in, we constantly strive to do more and do better for ourselves and for our kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, driven and engaged working parents, we are always seeking opportunities to improve, you know, to advance in our career and finding opportunities to create family memories and opportunities to involve our children in all sorts of extracurricular and social activities. But to make this all happen, we wear so many hats. I mean,
yes,
we got hats. We got a chef's hat and a chauffeur hat, right? I mean, we have one for our role as a maid and one for our role as a coach. And we have our referee hat. I have this hat for sure. I have, with four kids, I wear my referee hat a lot. And you know, all of these hats are accompanied by, you know, a counselor hat, a teacher hat, a doctor hat, a detective hat. I mean, the list goes on and on. And there's a myriad of other hats that are unique to each individual working parent. But these hats get very heavy, and they create stress. And especially the small hats that we wear at home, the ones that we are constantly swapping out, you know, when you're in the midst of cooking dinner after a long day at work and you got to stop what you're doing because you have to resolve conflict, or, you know, you're getting ready for work in the morning and a child starts panicking because they can't find their shoes or their homework or their lunchbox and it's Chicken Little, the sky is falling, you know, or you sit down in the evening and you start, you know, helping your child with homework and they just fall to pieces and in an irrational tirade of you know, negative self-talk about how it's just too hard and they're not smart enough and just that lack of self-regard. It's these small constant battles of dealing with conflict and a lack of objectivity or flexibility or, you know, lack of self-regard or poor stress tolerance from our children that really chip away at us and take a big toll on our mind, body, and soul. It's these, you know, it's these small things, that constant swapping of all the hats that as a working parent in the home just really compounds to create a lot of stress.
You know, and you're talking about all of these hats, and one of the things that comes with these hats or that doesn't come with the hat is training. In other words, you are expected to wear the hat, but generally speaking, there's no time to get trained in what to do and how to properly wear the hat so that you're most effective. So that can also lead to stress. It's sort of like being given a vehicle to drive and never having driven the vehicle before. And someone says, go out there and drive that vehicle. You're going to drive it, yes, but you're going to experience a little stress because you're not quite sure of what to do and how to do it. And so you just go into it doing your best. And sometimes your best may not be what's required, or it may not be good enough for that situation. So what I'm hearing you say is that, you know, you have a lot of hats and sometimes you have to change them pretty quickly, you know, go from hat one to hat two. And that sounds like it can be pretty stressful.
Absolutely.
Well, when you're doing that, you know, it sounds like you have four little ones. They're probably all not little ones at this point. How old are they, by the way?
Yeah, so my four kids range from four to, we have one that's about to turn 16 here next week. So,
yeah,
everybody, cross your fingers.
He's going to be on the road.
Right, which is another stressor.
Yeah. So between 4 and 16. Excuse me for taking that big deep breath and sigh, but, you know, I feel your stressors, you know, when you're saying 4 to 16, because at each age group, there's some special requirements that each one needs. And again, there's no, well, I'm sure there are books out there written by, you know, eminent psychologists and whatever, but really on a day-to-day basis, you're kind of on your own in terms of how you manage and how you deal with those things. So let's talk about it from your experience, you know, because someone else may say, well, you know, I've had a different experience. My kid doesn't do this or my kid doesn't do that. So let's talk about it from Dr. Spradlin's experience. What do working parents need to help mitigate these stressors at home?
Yeah, that's a great question, right? That elusive question. you know, I mean, bottom line, I think first and foremost, I mean, as working parents, as working adults, I mean, we just simply have to find time. We have to make time, you know, to decompress, you know, to travel, to exercise, to have those date nights. You know, however, those events, you know, the dedicated time to travel and go out to dinner and exercise and things like that, those events, they take planning and they take dedicated time. And we don't always have that dedicated time to consistently integrate those types of events as a way to decompress and mitigate stress. So we have to find a way to mitigate the small constant battles we endure on a daily basis and increase the frequency of the small wins, the times when we don't have to wear one of our many, many hats. And we can do this by really creating a culture of emotional intelligence in the home. We build that foundation of emotional intelligence so that we don't use it as a Band-Aid. We create a systemic foundation of success by creating that culture of EI. And when we do that, we increase the frequency of the small wins. We teach our children how to wear their own hats. You know, teach them how to resolve their own conflict. Engage in healthy relationships, you know, to teach them how to empathize and help others and safely assert their independence while, you know, effectively working in teams. You know, teach them to consider the impact of others before they say or do and temper their impulsivities and compliment others and compliment themselves, you know, to mitigate that negative self-talk and teach them to solve those complex problems on their own and do it objectively, you know, but yet teach them that the balance to that is recognizing when they do need to ask for help. You know, ultimately what? Creating that culture of, I'm sorry.
No. I'm just hearing all of these parents out there. I'm hearing all these parents. They're probably saying things like, well, now that's easy for you to say. After all, you were in the Marine Corps. Or that's easy for you to say because, you know, you have a PhD or a doctorate degree. But here I am, you know, maybe I graduated high school or maybe I got a bachelor's degree or whatever. So, you know, I don't have that background of which I can pull on or pull upon. So how can working parents, you know, just the average Joe out there, how can the average working parent teach their young children, you know, let's say between pre-K through fifth grade about EI?
That is a great question. So here's what I'm going to tell you.
Okay.
If you can teach your child to be an octopus, you can teach your child the value of emotional intelligence. And here's why I use octopus, right? Everybody right now is going, an octopus, right? Teach my kid how to be an octopus.
Well, I have my pen and paper here because first thing I drew was this round body of an octopus.
Perfect.
And then I drew these little eight arms that kind of stick out like an octopus.
Yes. You know, for us, for my family, we are we're a huge water family. We love the boat and the ocean, and we all scuba dive and we swim together. And in terms of ocean animals, the octopus is a lot like a kid. You know, so for the parent listening right now, you know, this talk a little about the assimilation between an octopus and a child, because an octopus, it often lacks impulse control and they get into everything, right? They're very intelligent. They're very intelligent. They're very intelligent and have an extremely strong capacity for learning. They have very unique personalities and they're very playful. However, they're nocturnal and don't want to go to bed at night. And it costs a lot of money to feed and care for, right? I mean, so, you know, when you actually look at the octopus, there's a lot of similarities, but aside from the funny parallels between an octopus and a child, the octopus is a great physical representation of emotional intelligence that you can use to teach your kids about the value of EI. And there's three things specifically I want to talk about.
Okay.
You know, the first interesting fact is that an octopus has three hearts, right? And essentially, emotional intelligence is about managing emotional information in three ways. Managing our own information, managing the emotional information of others, and then managing that emotional information stimuli that's coming from the world around us. So, you know, when you talk to your children about using those three hearts, you know, teach your kids to use all three hearts. Teach them to be just like an octopus. to use three hearts, to think about how they feel, how others feel, and how the world around them is reacting when they're faced with any decision, no matter how big or small that decision may be. You know, ask them the question, you know, well, what, with your three hearts, what are you feeling? Well, what are they feeling? And what information are you getting from the world around you? You know, and another interesting fact, excuse me, about an octopus is that it has no bones. Okay, so an octopus is extremely flexible. They can maneuver in and out of very tight situations and easily recover. So the second thing about, you know, teaching children how to be an octopus and understanding EI or emotional intelligence is to teach your kids, you know, to be an octopus in terms of being flexible as it relates to specifically resolving conflict and managing stress and coping. Teach them that like an octopus, they will bounce back. They are an octopus. They may get into this tight situation, but they can get themselves through even the smallest, most challenging obstacles, and they will regain their shape after that difficult situation, especially if they're using all three hearts to manage the conflict and cope with stress. And the final piece is, you know, that an octopus can camouflage. We've all heard that. An octopus is very good at camouflaging to nearly any environment. And they're very astute at assessing and observing and identifying the nuances in their environment. And this helps them fit in and thrive and, I mean, really survive. So the third piece in terms of teaching your child, you know, how to be an octopus is to teach kids that, you know, to be an octopus, teach them to listen and observe, right? Teach them to listen and observe their environment. Teach them the power of just listening and watching. You know, a lot of times you'll hear kids say, well, people watching. That's a fun thing to do, you know, with your child.
Right.
Just people watch and ask the questions. You know, well, what do you think they're thinking right now? Why do you think they're doing that? You know, it teaches them to be thoughtful and empathetic and consider things from all sides, you know, because it really will make it easier for them to fit in new groups, new schools, new environments, and create those healthy, lasting relationships with different groups in different environments.
Yeah, I like that. I particularly like what you're saying, you know, they can, you know, like in the second one, you say the octopus has no bones. So they can regain their shape. And what I'm thinking of is how sometimes when someone encounters an issue, they're, you know, they feel deflated, or they may feel like, you know, they lost their best friend, or they're never going to amount to anything or whatever. But regaining your shape is sort of like resilience. You have the ability to bounce back. You can come back from almost any adversity. So in that, I like that one. I was just using some things that I was thinking about and paralleling some of the things that you were saying about these points about the octopus. Sometimes it takes me a while to catch up, but I was still back there on the flexibility and being able to regain one shape or to be resilient. So,
absolutely.
And also, the camouflage is listening and observing and being ready to blend in, being able to walk into another group. Because I'm thinking about kids in general, you know, how often, you know, school just started, right? And so they are expected to go and blend into this new classroom of kids, two-thirds of which they've never seen before, don't know anything about, but they're expected to blend in, and that's a good skill or quality to have. Anyway, go ahead. I'm listening to you.
Oh, no, I mean, I just think it's, you know, it's amazing how powerful having a physical representation of EI, especially, you know, an animal, can be for kids as you try to, you know, teach them a very nebulous concept for many people that, you know, like EI can be.
Yes.
And, you know, Dr. Hank, you mentioned that, you know, the first thing you did when I said, you know, to raise an octopus or build an octopus is you drew a picture of an octopus. Well, oftentimes when when I'm working with groups of children in a classroom setting, you know, our culminating activity will be that I will break them into groups and, you know, they'll have this huge poster board and they'll draw their own octopus and they'll put their three hearts, you know, inside and annotate that, you know, one is for self, one is for others, and one is for the, you know, their environment or the world around them. And then what they'll do is the tentacles, because another interesting fact is that an octopus actually has 9 brains. It's got its main brain that actually sends signals out to what's kind of like a mini brain in each one of its tentacles. So altogether, it has 9 brains. And I'll, you know, we'll talk to the kids about what are all those things that you want to accomplish, you know, as you transition from, you know, second grade to third grade or whatever it may be. And they list them out and we say, well, you know, we work on how can we use ourself, you know, our other and our environment hearts and recognizing that emotional information that we're getting from all three to ultimately, you know, as a foundation to ultimately breed success in all of these goals you want to set. And what they'll do is they'll get into their groups and they'll draw their octopus and put their three hearts in there. And then as a group, they'll come up with 8 different goals that they want to set for their group throughout the school year. And they'll write them on the tentacles and it'll say, hey, we're going to use our three hearts to talk to our brain, right? In order to come together to make sure that our emotional intelligence is working effectively with our brain or, you know, our cognitive intelligence so that it sends out these strengths, these motivators, these drivers, these capabilities to actually execute and meet effectively reaching all these goals that we're sending out to our brains and our tentacles. And that's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it sounds like it. You know, I mean, particularly when you get a group of kids together and you're asking them to use their imagination and they're not as constricted as adults when you talk about using imagination, first of all. And kids can often come up with, you know, some really interesting ways to do something or to accomplish something. And adults get stymied a lot of time by the boxes that we put ourselves into. So when you're saying that, you know, the kids are asked with ways to accomplish these tentacles, you know, I'm just thinking about how much they probably do really come up with. Wow. Question. Now
sure.
You got them into doing something. Now you got them kind of thinking about how to reach the kids, you know. How does creating a culture of EI in the home create a synergy of success?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, that concept of synergy of success, that you know, overlapping successes, how one is going to positively influence the other and
right.
You know, one can make another one stronger. You know, when we talk about working parents, you know, I mean, working parents they're driven to, you know, create those opportunities for themselves professionally, for themselves as a parent, and then of course for their children. And so those three areas, when we talk about building a culture of EI in, of EI in the home, it's EI is a universal foundation of success. So as a working parent, right, you're creating a culture of EI in the home, and it's going to help you as a professional. It's going to help you improve in terms of career advancement as a professional, right? And I just read a statistic the other day where it said nearly 70% of HR professionals and hiring managers indicate that EI plays a major factor in hiring decisions. So whether you're talking about a first-time job application or you're going in for a promotion board, 70% of HR professionals are saying that EI plays a major, major factor in hiring decisions. The second piece, when we talk about the, you know, how it's going to create success for you as a parent and not just a professional, but
right.
EI is going to help you as a parent. And research shows us that those parents that actually take a partnership approach with their kids as far as learning EI produces higher EI kids and it builds a really great sense of trust and communication with their children. And having that trust and that communication with your kids is going to eliminate some of those stressors, you know, just inherently alleviate some of that anxiety. And then the third piece, when we talk about EI and helping your children, you know, teachers say that emotionally intelligent students, they're more cooperative, they make better leaders in the classroom.
Right.
I mean, there's all these components to not just success today, but success into the future, you know, as EI is an indicator of future performance. So the bottom line is, Dr. Hank, you know, creating a culture of EI in the home for working parents creates that synergy of success, you know, for you as the professional, for you as the parent, and for your child today and well into the future.
Wow. So now here's a tough question. If that is indeed true, if that is indeed the case, why aren't more parents doing that?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I think a big part of it is a lack of awareness, a lack of awareness about the absolute fundamental value, that foundational value that EI plays into creating a synergy of success. And the hopes are that, you know, organizations like the Society of EI, as we branch out and we create more chapters, we can get more working parents involved and engaged and at, you know, events that can promote these types of culture shifts within the home.
Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things, you know, I asked the question, but I'm also asking the question to myself, and that is, I think, you know, and I appreciate, you know, you sharing the hat or an octopus concept, is that many parents don't know how to take this concept of emotional intelligence and then create something else. In other words, related to something that the kids may be able to identify with. For instance, if you go up to, you know, we'll just say a 9-year-old, it can be a 7-year-old, a 15-year-old, but you go up to a 9-year-old and you start to ask questions, what is emotional intelligence? Do you know about emotional intelligence? The kid doesn't know what the heck you're talking about, you know. So if you say, yeah, have you ever seen an octopus, or you know what an octopus is, more likely than not, they can identify. So based on what I'm hearing, I think one of the things that we parents in general can do is find a way to connect with the kids, even though it's their child. Even though the child is in the same household as them, there's connecting with them in a way to communicate this concept of emotional intelligence. Because grown-ups have enough problems already trying to figure out what the heck emotional intelligence is, you know.
Right.
And so when you're talking about getting that to a kid, you know, the grown-up has to interpret it. Then he or she has to say, now, how do I interpret it and then put it at a level whereby the kid understands
right.
it. That's another hat.
Yeah, you know, that it is. It absolutely is. And you know, one of the other things that you can do is creating, you know, within creating that culture, if a parent can understand, identify and just take enough time to understand what the fundamental competencies of emotional intelligence are, particularly as it relates, you know, to the EQ, the EQI model, which, you know, you talk about in your book, as EQ relates to everything. If they can understand what those are, you know, and let's just take one, for example, let's just take impulse control.
Gotcha.
If the parent can understand what each one of these are, when you are giving feedback and communicating with your children, giving what I call EI feedback, right, where you actually provide feedback that uses emotional intelligence words such as impulse control, it can teach your kids that you value this, and they get rewarded or they get reprimanded if they either are displaying this behavior or they're failing to. And children need that. They need to understand clear and concise directions in terms of expectations. So, for example, if your child does something that, you know, where they were patient and they waited, tell them directly, use the words, I really appreciate you waiting, and using your impulse control, you know, and teach them what impulse control is. Tell them that those EI word-related behaviors are admired and appreciated and valued and rewarded. And likewise, you know, if they're not displaying such behaviors, let them know. Be very clear and concise in terms of the emotional intelligence behaviors and competencies that they are not displaying, because that ultimately is going to help evolve their EI without truly sitting down and saying, let's do a class and tell you everything about what emotional intelligence is and what it isn't. You know, it's that notion of creating the positive behavior contagion, you know, that positive, you know, spread of positive behavior through EI feedback, you know, feedback that specifically articulates words that are associated with emotional intelligence.
Yeah, wow, that's really a great way to do that, because I'm thinking, so what we find is a behavior that relates to the term or the word, and then we can then have the child, or hopefully the child will begin to understand what that is and what that looks like, or what that sounds like, or what it doesn't look like, or what it doesn't sound like, they're doing it. So we can associate their behavior with the term, and then that way they are learning, just like learning a foreign language. Typically, you know, there's, you know, when you're learning about, you know, foods or whatever in a foreign language, typically, you know, you have the word, then you have whatever the item is that is associated with it. So the person goes, oh, yeah, chicken, I know that one, you know.
That's a great analogy.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe we are finding something here that will be more helpful to a lot of other parents. Now, is this something that you do or would be doing as a part of your practice with Vitruvian?
I do. We do provide a workshop for K. In fact, you had mentioned pre-K through fifth grade, and that mm-hmm. is, you know, that's really the area that we focus on in terms of workshops for helping children, and particularly children and teachers, counselors, to, you know, help produce some practical applications that can be sustained and built upon throughout the year, throughout the years, as, you know, you're working with these children.
Okay. Well, you know, early on at the top of the show, you know, you gave a little information in terms of how someone can reach you. Maybe there are some folks that tuned in late or maybe missed this. Where can our listeners go to get more information about the services and workshops that you provide?
Find our website at www.vitruvianei.com. And Vitruvian is spelled V-I-T-R-U-V-I-A-N. So it's www.vitruvianei.com.
Okay, and this question is for me. Maybe someone else is thinking, where did Vitruvian come from?
Oh, that's a great question. Yeah, so I am a dedicated scholar of Leonardo da Vinci. He is very, very influential in terms of me personally and professionally. And Mr. Da Vinci, he created a print, and you've probably seen it before. It's a sketch of a man standing with, looks like, this big curly locks of hair, and he's got his arms spread out wide, straight to his sides, and his legs straight down. And there's a bunch of circles around this picture, and this print that Leonardo da Vinci made is called the Vitruvian Man. And part of the philosophy of this drawing is the notion of the incredible interconnectivity of and inner workings and interconnectivity of the human body and how, you know, the length of the tip of your finger to the tip of your finger is the same as the top of your head to the, you know, your height ultimately. And these inner workings of just how unbelievably interconnected the human mind and body are, and mm-hmm. serve that interconnectivity serves as a foundation of resilience for for mankind. And, you know, I mean, I think that really overlaps and can be associated with the notion of emotional intelligence, that EI really creates that foundation that connects to so many, if not all, other complex behaviors that characterize, you know, ultimately high-performing employees, transformational leaders, and just, you know, successful people.
Gotcha. Well, thanks for that. You know, one of the things that I try not to do is I try not to let our guests get away without making a special offer or something available for our listeners. So sometimes I'll ask our guests if they could have a giveaway or a gift or something for someone who contacts you within the next 7 days. So if someone should contact you either by email or via your website within the next 7 days, what can they expect?
Thank you. Yeah, if the listeners out there contact me within the next 7 days via any platform, we will send you either a Vitruvian Advantage travel mug, which we have for the adults. And if you are a working parent with children, I'd be happy to send you some fun little stress balls that are in the shape of a brain, you know, that will then help you, you know, use that brain as another physical representation to teach your kids, you know, about the three hearts and the connection between the octopus and emotional intelligence. So we've got Vitruvian Advantage travel mugs as well as little brain stress balls that I'm sure the kids will have a good time with.
Well, I know that I drink a lot of coffee, so while I may not be one of the first one to call or send an email to you, I'm going to ask you right now, is there any possible way that you could get me one of those Vitruvian Advantage travel mugs?
I think I can swing it, Dr. Hank.
Okay, good. Thank you. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And I appreciate more the fact that you took time to be on the show today and shared, you know, this hat for my octopus, creating a culture of EI for working parents that breeds a synergy of success for you and your children. I just really appreciate you sharing that. Hopefully, those listeners will find value in all of that information and will reach out to you. If you can just share your contact info one more time, I'd appreciate it.
Absolutely. The website is www.vitruvianei.com. And my email address is sarah.spradlin@vitruvianei.com.
Fantastic. Well, Dr. Spradlin, again, thank you so much for taking time to be on the show today. Looking forward to it. Look forward to talking to you more and you making a major contribution to the Society of Emotional Intelligence and spearheading that Virginia chapter. And for those of you out there that are listening, that's in the Virginia area, hey, get off the stick and give her a call or send her an email. We want to get that chapter up and running as quickly as possible. And particularly if you want to be a founding member of the chapter, now's a good time to get that. I'm pretty sure that Dr. Spradlin is looking for some people to take on the leadership role. Is that true?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, we have lots of opportunities for staff member positions and founding members. You know, we're gonna really build a powerful society of EI here in Virginia.
Fantastic. Again, thank you, Dr. Spradlin. You go out and, as I always say, go out and have an EI day.
Thank you, Dr. Hank. I appreciate you having me. I appreciate the opportunities you have provided. And to all the listeners, in my closing remark, I just, you know, I hope that as you, you know, work to create that culture of EI in the home, build that synergy of success, raise an octopus, and let them wear the hat so that you can take some of the weight, take some of the weight off of you and teach your children to wear the hats for you every once in a while. Thank you again.
Thank you. I like that idea, so that you can have a laborless day sometime.
That's right.
This is Dr. Hank, and you've been listening to the Dr. Hank Show, and you've heard a lot coming from Dr. Sarah Spradling. One, she's the chair of the Virginia chapter of the Society of Emotional Intelligence, and we're looking for great things from that chapter, mainly because she's there, and two, because I know that there's some great folks in the Virginia area. Having been in the Navy, you know, I was stationed in the Norfolk, Hampton, Newport News area for some time. I know there's some great folks there. A couple of buddies of mine that still lives in that area, so I'll be talking to them about getting involved in the chapter. Just looking forward to growing a new chapter. As I said at the top of the show, there's a few things that's coming up here pretty soon, and I just want to kind of let everyone know about it. One, in October 12th, is going to be an EQI 2.0 certification. And for those of you that are interested, maybe don't know what EQI 2.0, don't know what that is, well, think in terms of if a person is interested in assessing their emotional intelligence. They want to know, you know, whether they're high in emotional intelligence or low in emotional intelligence, or what their real level of emotional intelligence is. Well, there are a number of assessment tools out there on the market that one can purchase to do that. For instance, they can purchase the ESCI, which is by the Goldman and Hay Group. It helps an individual learn more about their emotional intelligence, as well as one by Salovey and Mayer. It's called the Mesquite, M-S-C-E-I-T. Or there are some others out there that's like, I know a number of you have probably heard of Travis Bradbury and Talent Smarts. Well, they've created an assessment tool that allows one to assess one's emotional intelligence. Well, the EQI 2.0 is similar to all those that I had mentioned, but in one respect, it is sort of the top of the line. It is the Lexus or the Mercedes or the creme de la creme of that group. And there are many people who want to use that tool to assess their emotional intelligence or train other people or to coach other people. And so in order to do that, one needs to get certified in the use of that tool. And so that's what I mean when I say the EQI 2.0 certification. And that schedules for October 12 and 13. It'll be held here in Orlando, Florida. So if you're interested, just go to the website, societyofei.org. Go to the training and certification page. You'll find all of the info there to get registered. Now, many people say, well, you know, I don't want to do that. I just want to learn more about emotional intelligence, you know, perhaps what it is and how is it used in different applications. And as you heard our guest today talk about emotional intelligence for that K through fifth grade group, that PK through fifth grade group. Well, in these webinars coming up, we'll have someone speaking on how that might be utilized with a group of kids, you know, or actually they'll be speaking on putting emotional intelligence to work from the beginning to the end, so to speak, from creation to cessation. So you might want to tune in to hear more about that, or you might want to tune in to hear more about emotional intelligence being done with leaders or people in leadership role. Or you might just want to know more about emotional intelligence in general. So these three dynamic webinars will do that for you. It will give you a lot more information, answer a lot of questions. So you can sign up for that. To do that, just go to our website, societyofei.org, go to the conference page, and on the conference page, you'll see the sign-ups for the webinar. Now, I do have to encourage you to sign up quickly because seats are limited. You know how webinars are. They generally will only take X number of people before they close down. And that's because the technology that is used to present webinars only hosts X number of people before, you know, they get into another level. So the level that we have would hold up to 200 people, and we've got quite a few signups, but it's still some seats open, so go sign up for that. And last but not least, for speakers coming pretty soon, so keep your eye open. Visit our website often. So mid-September, call for speakers for the April 5th, 2019 conference. This is Dr. Hank saying goodbye for now. I look forward to seeing you back here next week, same place, same time. So please go out and have an EI day. Hope to see you then.